بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Today is the 17th of April in the year 2021 and Alhamdulillah we've moved on to the fifth glorious day of the holy month of Ramadan and I've reached verse 37 of Surah Nisa so inshallah today going through up to and including verse 40 so verse 37 A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem bismillahir rahmanir rahim Know those who are stingy or enjoin stinginess on others or hide the bounties which Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon them. For we have prepared for those who do not believe a punishment that steeps them in contempt. So here Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is mentioning a people who are stingy, i.e. miserly. For who is being referred to? So first of all, miserliness, bakhil or bukhl. In Bukhari's Al-Adab al-Mufrad Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, what disease is worse than being bukhl? What disease is worse than being bukhl, i.e. miserly? So now there's another thing which people get confused over and it's shuh. So shuh translates into avarice. So the difference between the two is important to highlight. So I'll mention it very briefly. So there's a report and this narration is recorded in Ibn Abi Hatim, Ibn Jarir, Ibn Kathir's Tafsir. Al-Aswad Ibn Al-Hilal Rahmatullah Alayhi said, A man once came to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu and said, I fear that I have earned destruction for myself. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud asked him, What matter are you referring to? The man said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he recited this portion, Surah 59, verse 9. And he mentions, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ And those saved from the avarice of their own souls, they are the ones that achieve success. And then he said, I am someone who is a miser, who barely gives away anything. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu answered, That is not the greed Allah Ta'ala mentions here in the Quran. This pertains to illegally consuming your brother's wealth. What you have is miserliness, and it is an evil thing indeed to be a miser. So simply put, this man, he thought that this verse referred to him. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ Those who are saved from the avarice of their own souls, they are the successful. Meaning if you've got avarice, you are doomed. But he taught avarice meant miserliness. But it's something completely different. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said that this verse does not apply to what you've got. Avarice is when you yearn for somebody else's property illegally. The verse is referring to that. But then he says, but you're a bakhil. And that's a bad thing as well. Meaning, you're not as bad as the one with the avarice. But you've got bukhl, i.e. bakhil. So now there's a report. The hadith is in Abu Dawood, Hakim Sahih, Zahabi Sahih, Ahmad. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Beware of shuh, avarice. For indeed shuh destroyed those who came before you. It ordered them to cut off family ties. So they cut off family ties. It ordered them to be miserly. And they were miserly. It ordered them to commit sins. So they committed sins. He goes, beware of shuh. So here the Prophet was explaining, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that shuh, avarice, the greed for other people's land, property and wealth, is a gateway to evil. Because if you've got that, you will end up committing other sins. And one of the things he mentioned, you'll become a miser as well. It leads to miserliness. So examples of this. Land grabbing in Pakistan, where they take your land. That's shuh. Or wealth, taking the wealth of somebody that doesn't belong to you. Either money in the banks, for instance. That is shuh. Miserliness is you being miserly with your own wealth. Have you understood? This is why there's a report in Nasai Ahmad ibn Abi Shaybah Hassan li ghayri, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shuh and iman cannot combine in the heart of the believer. Shuh and iman cannot combine in the heart of the believer. Avarice, craving for other people's wealth, and iman cannot combine in the heart of the believer. So this is the distinction here. But bukhl is being miserly with your own wealth. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we're going through, verse 37, is talking about miserly with your own bukhl. So now who's been referred to here? So there's a report. Now if you look at the verse, Allah ta'ala talks about bukhl. But at the end he says, وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِلْقَافِلِينَ عَذَابٌ مُهِينَ. Ibn Kathir in his tafsir, he says, kufr means to cover something. Therefore, the bakhil, the miser, he covers the blessings that Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with. Meaning, he does not spread those blessings. Thus, he is described by the term kafir regarding the favors Allah Ta'ala has granted him. And then he quotes the hadith. إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَنْعَمَا نِعْمَةً عَلَىٰ عَبْدْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يَظْهَرَ أَثَرُهَا عَلِيْ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants a servant a favor, he loves it that its effect appears on him. So let's look at this. So kufr means to cover something. The bakhil ibn Kathir said, he's like the kafir. How? Because he's covering the blessings that Allah Ta'ala has given him. He's refusing to give. Have you understood? Then he said, he does not spread those favors. Thus he is described as a kafir sometimes, the bakhil. Look at this verse. Those who are alladhina yabkhaluna wa ya'maluna an-nasa bil bukhl. Those who are miserly and enjoying miserliness on others. وَيَقْتُمُونَ مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, which Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon them. وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِلْقَافِرِينَ عَذَابٌ مُهِينَ. For the unbelievers, Allah Ta'ala has prepared a humiliating punishment. Why does he mention unbeliever there? Because it's the bukhl. He's hiding. So Ibn Kathir says, this is what is being referred to in this verse. So even though Allah Ta'ala is saying, for the unbelievers, Allah Ta'ala has prepared a humiliating punishment, a contemptible punishment. He's talking about the bakhil here because of their likeness, right, which is mentioned. And then the hadith, what does the hadith say? In Tabarani, in his Kabir 18-135, when Allah Ta'ala grants a servant a favor, أَحَبَّ أَنْ يَزْحَرَ أَثَرُهَا عَلِيْ, he loves that its effect appears on him. So when you are given a blessing, Allah Ta'ala loves it that you show it. The opposite of the bakhil. That's why we are told to show. Allah Ta'ala has blessed me. So look, I'm showing you my gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one thing here mentioned by Ibn Kathir. But is it also referring to anybody else? So there's a report in Ibn Abi Hatim. Sa'id ibn Jubair rahmatullah alayhi, he said, the scholars of the Bani Israel used to conceal what they had of knowledge. This act caused the revelation of this verse. So simply put, the Bani Israel scholars, why were they bakhil? They weren't bakhil with wealth. They were bakhil with the knowledge Allah Ta'ala gave them about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah Ta'ala says here, those who are miserly and enjoying miserliness on others hide the bounties which Allah Ta'ala has bestowed. For them, we have prepared the unbelievers a punishment. Contemptible. So he's talking about the Bani Israel's miserliness, but in terms of their knowledge. Also, there's another report. So this is recorded in Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, page 303 of the New English Translation, and Tabari in his Tafsir, number 9501. Ibn Ishaq, he said, and he mentioned six Jews, so I'll mention their names. Qardam ibn Qais, the ally of Ka'ab ibn Ashraf, Osama ibn Habib, Nafi ibn Abu Nafi, Bahri ibn Amr, Huyay ibn Akhtab, and Rifa' ibn Zayd ibn At-Tabut. So six Jews. One of them, we should know, is the father of the mother of the believers, Safiya. Huyay. Ibn Ishaq said, they used to frequent some men of the Ansar. So these six shaitans amongst the Bani Israel, they'd visit the Ansar with the intention to advise them. They used to say to them, do not spend your wealth, because we fear poverty for you by losing it. Nor hasten in spending, since you do not know what will happen tomorrow. So the six scholars of the Bani Israel, so-called scholars, they were telling the Ansar, stop spending your money. Use your intelligence. Something could go wrong for a rainy day. Because of this, Allah Ta'ala revealed these three verses, 37, 38, 39, which reads, know those who are miserly or enjoying miserliness on others, or hide the bounties which Allah Ta'ala has bestowed on them. For we are prepared for those unbelievers a punishment that steeps them in contempt. Know those who spend of their substance to be seen of men, but have no faith in Allah on the last day. If any take shaitan as their intimate, what a dreadful intimate he is. And what burden would it on them if they had faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the last day, and they spend out of what Allah ta'ala has given them for sustenance, for Allah ta'ala has full knowledge of them. So these three verses were revealed because of the Bani Israel when they were telling the Ansars to stop giving. So simply put, if you look right at the beginning of verse 37, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ وَيَعْمُلُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبُخْلِ. Nor those who are miserly or enjoying miserliness on others. So two types of miserliness is mentioned. They are miserly with their own knowledge, which I mentioned. They're not talking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when Allah Ta'ala says, those who are miserly, it refers to their knowledge. Then it says, or enjoying miserliness on others. That refers to their enjoying financial miserliness on the Sahaba. Have you understood? One type of miserliness is their knowledge. They're compounding it by enjoining miserliness on the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these three verses were revealed because of this incident. So it's the Bani Israel. So Allah Ta'ala is teaching you here that you can be miserly not just with wealth, but also your knowledge. And this is why there's another passage in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. No, drive away the petitioner when he asks. There's two meanings to that verse. One meaning is beggars. If a person asks you, don't drive him away. Another meaning from the Salaf is those who are asking about knowledge, don't drive them away. So Allah Ta'ala is telling his beloved, don't drive away those who call, whether they are asking financially or they want to learn about the deen. So note again, Allah Ta'ala is telling you the etiquette here. And what's far more important is knowledge. Knowledge is far greater than wealth. So if you're going to be miserly, be with your wealth, not with your knowledge. You know, subhanAllah. Also, there's another thing mentioned. So it mentions here, if you look at the verse 38, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, and those who spend their rizq to be seen of men and do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the last day. Imam Suyuti said in his Tafsir Jalalain, this is in reference to the hypocrites and the polytheists of Makkah. So look how amazing. Allah Ta'ala is talking about the Jews, about their miserliness. But then he talks about another illness. Those who spend, but their spending is not for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. They're just spending so people will praise them. So who's being referred to here? The polytheists of mushriks of Makkah and the munafiqs. So which three categories of people is Allah Ta'ala addressing here? One is the Bani Israel. One is the polytheists of Makkah and the other is the munafiqs, indicating these are signs of deviation and you must be very careful not to fall into this. And what does Allah Ta'ala say in verse 39? What burden would it be on them if they believed in Allah on the last day and they spent out of what Allah Ta'ala gave them for sustenance? Allah Ta'ala has full knowledge of them. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, I gave you the wealth. Why don't you give for my sake? Because what harm? But you're harming yourselves. This is the thing about the miser. He harms himself. Verse 40. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never unjust in the least degree. If there is any good, he doubles it and gives from his own presence a great reward. Now this is important. Sorry, I should have mentioned this. If you look at the end of verse 37, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا. And the unbelievers who resist, a punishment that steeps them in contempt is waiting. A contemptible punishment is waiting. Look how beautiful. Note how the punishment fits the crime. The miser holds other people in contempt, but in doing so, he himself becomes contemptible. So look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the miser. A punishment, contemptible punishment is waiting. So that has two meanings. One is in the world. Nobody loves a miser, you know, can't stand him. Because he's a miser. You know, everybody uses, you know, the phrase, you know, he's a miser. But also Allah Ta'ala says, another contemptible punishment is waiting for them. I'm going to humiliate them. The punishment fits the crime, you know, subhanAllah. Moving to verse 40. This is one of the five verses which Ibn Mas'ud said was very dear to him. So just to mention it again. In Hakim and his Mustadrak, Sahih Hadith Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, Abdullah Ibn Mas'ud said, radiyallahu, there are five verses in Surah Nisa I would prefer to the life of this world and all that it contains. The first verse he mentioned was this, verse 40. The second was verse 31, where it talks about avoiding major sins and you'll be forgiven. Verse 48, which means don't commit shirk, Allah Ta'ala will forgive you. Verse 64, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Shafa. And verse 110, istighfar. So this is one of the five verses which Ibn Mas'ud loved too much. So now, there's a report here. So this hadith is in Ibn Majah, Sahih Bukhari, a Muslim relates similar. The relevant part. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go and take out those you were acquainted with, meaning I allow you to intercede. Take out from the fire those whom you know. They will arrive in hell and recognize the shapes of their friends, since it will not be misfigured or disfigured by the fire. Some of them being burnt halfway to his legs, others to their ankles. So they bring them out. So stop in the report. So they recognize their face. Some will be burnt half, some depending upon the punishment. The hadith continues. When they are returned, Allah Ta'ala says, they will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we brought out those you recommended us to bring. Allah the Almighty then says, now bring out of hell the one whose heart contains a dinar of iman. Then who contains half a dinar, and those who have a weight of mustard seed, bring them out. Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu then said, the one who does not believe this should recite verse 40. And he recited this verse. Inna Allah la yadhlimu mithqala dharra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never unjust in the least degree. So simply put, it's talking about the people who are coming out of the fire, who the Allah Ta'ala allowed you to intercede. But then Allah Ta'ala starts mentioning very little levels of iman. If they have a barley grain of iman, take them out. So Abu Sa'id, he said, if you find this hard to believe, read this verse. And what does Allah Ta'ala promise? He will never be unjust to the dharra. Dharra is atom. He will not show any injustice even to the atom or to an ant. So what does that mean? Abu Sa'id said it refers to intercession. Allah Ta'ala will take him out by his great kindness. So maybe this is another reason why Ibn Mas'ud loved this verse. Have you understood? Right? Maybe there's another reason which Abu Sa'id was mentioning there. Also, there's a report. So this narration is recorded in Ahmad Bazar Al-Haythami in Majma' Al-Zawaid, Kanz Al-Umal, Tabari, and Hayat Al-Sahaba, Volume 5, page 127. Abu Uthman Nahdi, Tabi'in, Rahmatullah Alayh, he approached Abu Huraira and he said, I've heard something from you that you've said that the reward of a good deed is multiplied a million times. So this Tabi'in found that hard to believe. So somebody told him, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that if you do a good deed, it can be multiplied a million times. So he thought, I can't believe that. So he goes to Abu Huraira. He goes, is this true? So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, why do you find this surprising? I swear by Allah that I heard Rasulullah say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the servant can be rewarded a million times or even up to 2 million times by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Abu Huraira recited this verse, verse 40. يُضَاعِفْهَا وَيُؤْتِي مِنْ لَدُنْ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. He shall multiply it and grant a tremendous reward from his side. Then Abu Huraira said, if Allah Ta'ala speaks of ajran azima, an immense reward, who can measure its magnitude? SubhanAllah. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he was known for this. He would say things and people would find it objectionable. You know, even now if you say to a person, well, if you do a good deed, it can multiply a million times. What do they say? And this is in Ramadan, forget about normal time. Brother, where did you get that from? Who said that? Right? And they go right down to 10. Because always 10 times. Right? And you go, well, Abu Huraira is saying million. You're saying 10. So anyway, the Tabi'in questioned and Abu Huraira goes, do you find that strange? Because I've heard Rasulullah say 2 million times. And then he recited this verse. And what does Allah Ta'ala clearly say? He shall multiply it ajran azima with an immense reward. Abu Huraira goes, when Allah Ta'ala says azim, can you work it out? Rasulullah said 2 million. So how or what caused it to multiply? You could argue sincerity. Right? So somebody goes to you, there's a bare minimum wage and there's another wage that only Allah Ta'ala knows. I want the maximum rewards. And one of the things that you can refer to is sincerity. And note Abu Huraira recited this verse. So maybe this is another reason why Ibn Masud said this verse is most beloved to me. See, the Sahaba understand the Quran, we don't. If why is that verse beloved to Ibn Masud? And the response is because of the shades of meaning. And also there's another report. I'm not going to give you the references, nothing, just going to give you the state. There was a process where Allah Ta'ala's mercy increased. First, Surah 2, verse 261. If you gave in the path of Allah without going yourself, it multiplied 700 times. That was the first stage. So somebody was going in jihad and you gave, you didn't go. Your expenditure multiplied 700 times. That's the first stage. Then what happened? Then it multiplied the next stage, Surah 2 verse 262, 700,000 times. For those who give, those who went. So those who give and went in the path of Allah, whatever they gave multiplied more now 700,000 times. But then there was another stage. And the other stage is referred to in Surah 39 verse 10, Surah 4 verse 40. And it says, Allah Ta'ala multiplies it and only He knows how much it multiplies. Like Abu Huraira said, from the Prophet 2 million times. Because only now Allah Ta'ala knows. If you spend in the path of Allah, only Allah Ta'ala knows. So what? And all of this can be found in Ibn Rajab, his book of compendium, Jami al-Ulum al-Hikm, page 603-4. I don't want to bore you with all the hadiths and references, but this is the mercy of Allah Ta'ala increasing for those who spend. So there's no contradiction. But this is the last verse in the area. If anybody says to you, what is the governing verse? The verse that finalized everything. Surah 4 verse 40. Where Allah Ta'ala goes, ajran azima. He will give to whatever He wants to give by His grace and mercy. And there's actually a report. And the report mentions that there'll be a person on the Day of Judgment and he'll be handing his deeds out left, right and center because of his backbiting, lying and all the rest of it. And then he'll have nothing, very little left. But Allah Ta'ala then expands that little. So He takes him to paradise. He makes sure that it's enough to take him to paradise. But the hadith goes on to say, if Allah Ta'ala does not want anybody to be saved, He doesn't expand on it. So He'll just hand your deeds out and then His grace doesn't get involved. And that means you're doomed. And this is why we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His grace and His kindness. Because that is what ultimately will secure your forgiveness. So I'll recite the verses. And we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذين يبخلون ويعملون الناس بالبخل ويكتمون ما آتاهم الله من فضله وأعتدنا للكافرين عذابا مهينا والذين ينفقون أموالهم رعاء الناس ولا يؤمنون بالله ولا باليوم الآخر ومن يكن الشيطان له قرينا فساء قرينا وماذا عليهم لو آمنوا بالله واليوم الآخر وأنفقوا مما رزقهم الله وكان الله بهم عليما إن الله لا يظلم مثقال ذرة وإن تك حسنة يضاعفها ويؤتي من لدنه أجرا عظيما. And sorry, just to add, in Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Abu Huraira recited the last portion, وَيُؤْتِي مِنْ لَدُنْهُ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا, and gives from his own presence an immense reward. He explained, it refers to paradise. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا, Abu Huraira and others, they said, it refers to paradise. Ultimately, Allah ta'ala will give by his great kindness. So we pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he forgives me for any edits which I may have inadvertently put on. سبحان الله بحمده سبحان الله اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات ورواصوا بالحق ورواصوا بالصبر صدق الله